Let's continue on with the coming world government. A lot are saying that they're going to enact the fairness doctrine, and I don't think they are. Because they got their man, they got their agenda, in spite of everything, the yelling and screaming of all the radio talk show hosts. And in particularly, let me just mention about Dr. John Coleman up in Reno, Nevada. He gets information fed to him directly from those who are in the elite, the secret organizations, and so forth. And they know they are giving it to him. And they know what he's publishing. They know the books that he has written. Why would they do that? To see if people are going to organize against them. But if the information goes out there and nothing happens, no movement is started, then let Dr. John Coleman rant and rave and write all he wants. It's not effective. See? It's just like the talk show host, the as liberal media would say, right-wing talk show host. Let them rant and rave all they want. Obama got elected. So no use shutting them down. Just keep educating them out of the colleges so they'll vote that way, and you don't have to worry about them. If you shut them down, there would be a bigger stink, so just let them go. If you got in there, in spite of all the efforts, all the money, all the talk, all of the, everything, hey, why bother? All right, let's continue on. Let's come to the book of Revelation, chapter 17. And here's the system that is being resurrected right now. Revelation chapter 17. Verse 1. And one of the seven angels who had the seven vials came and spoke with me, saying to me, "Come here, I will show you the judgment of the great whore who sits upon many waters." Drop down to verse 15, just across the catty-corner, the next column. Then he said to me, "The waters that you saw where the whore sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages." We are talking about global, worldwide things. Now notice, back to verse 2, "with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication." The whole political system is wrapped up economics, religion, and government, kings of the earth. And those who dwell on the earth, see, this is the world, the whole thing. This is a whole big thing. Were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So they don't know what's going on. Then he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast having seven heads and ten horns, full of names of blasphemy. And the woman was clothed in scarlet and purple and scarlet, and was adorned with gold and pearls and precious stones, and she had a cup in her hand filled with abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And across her forehead was a name written, "Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of the harlots and the abominations of the earth." Now, this has been interpreted. That's a Catholic Church and the Protestants. No, that's not correct. This is the old Babylonian religion resurrected, of which come the Hindus, the Muslims, Baha'i, all the religions of the world, Catholicism, Eastern Orthodox, and Protestantism. Protestantism originally had less of Babylonianism in it than it does now. But nevertheless, all of them have they killed, let's read it here, "and the woman was drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus." Let me ask you a question. Have Hindus killed Christians? Yes. Have animists killed Christians? Yes. Have Catholics? Have Orthodox? Yes. Have the Muslims? Yes. Have even the Protestants? Yes. So this is what it's talking about. And after seeing her, I wondered with great amazement. In other words, how could this be? Then the angel said to me, why are you amazed? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that you saw was and is not, and is about to come up out of the abyss and go into perdition. What is the abyss? The abyss is where the demons are held captive. So this means it's going to come up directly right out of the cauldron of Satan the devil. And that's why I have in the book, Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days, which, warning, the occult is going to sweep the world. And it's doing it right now. And go into perdition. And those who dwell on the earth, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, shall be astonished when they see the beast that was, but is not, and yet is. Now let me interpret this a little bit for you. A beast is a nation or an empire. This beast exists, but it's not a real beast because it does not have its own sovereign territory and it does not have its own people. This is a beast that comes together, which rules over nations that have given up their sovereignty to the beast. And yet he is there, see. Here's a mind that has wisdom. The heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sits. Now you come down here, verse 18, let's read this. This interprets who it is. And the woman whom you saw is the great city that has royal power over the kings of the earth. That could be none other than Rome. And the end time source of all of these things is coming out of the club of Rome. Every bit of it. And remember, this is the only, how should we say, religious nation in the world, which the Vatican is on its 105 acres, that has ambassadors from every nation in the world. Now why? Because it's essentially a political organization under the guise of religion. Now let's read on here, come back up where we were. There are 7 kings, 5 are fallen, and 1 is, and the other is not yet come, and when he has come, it is ordained that he remain a little while. And the beast that was and is not, he is the 8th and is of the 7th and goes into perdition. And as we have in the chart in the back of the Bible here in one of the appendix, the 7th one was the rise of Hitler and Mussolini. And what is happening to the world right now? It is being formed into a fascist state. Now you'll see that on the news. People talking about all the things that are happening in America, just like it happened with Hitler just before World War II. So when the man of sin, the son of perdition, comes forth with dynamic power, he's the 8th one, but it's from the system of the 7th. And the 10 horns that you saw are 10 kings. Now, I noticed in the report, they have not abandoned the regional economic union of nations. The only thing that they're abandoning is the regional currency, because they're going to bring a world currency. So you will still have 10 regions in the world that are set up according to the United Nations, and those will be economic unions, and they're going to completely bypass, I believe, completely bypass the regional currency. Now notice, They're going to have someone who is a leader over them, all right, that you saw are 10 kings who have not received a kingdom, but receive authority as kings 1 hour with the beast. So when the emergence of Christ showing himself in the heavens takes place, then, and the tribulation begins, then they will be given authority as kings, because it says here, verse 13, then these all have one mind and shall give up their power and authority to the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them, because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Now never forget, you have been called to be faithful, to be trained, to take over the world and rule in the kingdom of God under Christ when he returns from heaven. It's not going to be a movement of men that you can go out and join and do this and do that and do the other thing. It is a special calling by God. And there are a lot of people who are being called but are sort of sitting on the fence wondering what to do. What you need to do is repent. What you need to do is get baptized. What you need to do is get right with God. Not wait. Now let's come down here to verse 17. For God has put it in their hearts to do his will, and to act with one accord, and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God have been fulfilled. Let's also see who's involved. Chapter 18. Isn't that something? That's why they feel dedicated to a higher purpose. But you see, all of this begins when people start going away from God. And as I mentioned, in America, the leaven that leavened the whole lump was Sunday keeping, Easter, and the occult holidays, versus Sabbath, Passover, and the holy days. Now, chapter 18. After these things, I saw an angel descending from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried out mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a habitation of demons, a prison of every unclean spirit, and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. Now, verse 3 is very enlightening. Because all nations have drunk of the wine of the fury of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the power of her luxury. The merchants are the bankers, the transnational corporations, the big modern names that are recognized as world brands. Be they cars, be they soft drinks, be they food, whatever. And they make their money by going over the borders of nations, avoiding the laws of different nations, and that's why they are crying out for a world economic system with laws. They get rich by it. And you've heard how many stories of different inventions that have come along which would save a lot on gasoline or do things, and all of a sudden, they're gone. And if someone who is not of their party, that is, economically, politically, and religiously, they destroy. Witness Sarah Palin. She doesn't belong to the secret inner workings of the elite. Verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. That's what God is saying. You're to come out of this system. You are not to be involved in any of these movements. They may seem well-intended. They may seem like they're really going to do good. It may seem like all the voices of the people finally going to be heard. Never happened. because you're going against the prophecies of the Bible and against God. It will happen. So the only way it's going to work is if you repent and come out of it. See? Come out of her, my people, so that you do not take part in her sins, and that you do not receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached as far as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Now, when God intervenes to bring his power and fury against this whole world system, here's what's going to happen. Render to her as she is rendered to you. Give to her double even according to her works. In the cup that she mixed, give back to her double. To the degree she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, give to her as much torment and sorrow, for she says in her heart, I sit a queen enthroned and am not a widow, and in no way shall I experience sorrow. For this reason, her plague shall come in one day, death and sorrow and famine, and she shall be burned with fire, for the Lord God who executes judgment upon her is powerful. Then the kings of the earth who have committed fornication with her and have lived luxuriously shall weep and mourn for her when they see the smoke of her burning. So the final economic collapse is going to be just stunning, as well as the wars and the plagues and everything that is going to come upon them because of it. Verse 10. They will stand far off for fear of her torment, saying, Woe, woe, the great city Babylon, the mighty city, for it in one hour your judgment has come. Then all the great trading is going to cease. Now, the city Babylon represents the whole worldwide system, because the city represented by Rome does what? Rules over and sits on people, nations, languages, and tongues. Now let's come back here to Isaiah 47. Let's see something very important. Here is a prophecy of this very thing. Isaiah 47, page 538. Here's the prophecy, Isaiah 47, verse 1. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne for you, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for you shall no more be called tender and delicate. I like the way this is worded. Take the millstone and grind meal. Push back your veil. Draw up your skirts. Uncover your legs. Pass over the rivers. Your nakedness shall be uncovered. That's what Revelation 18 is talking about. Your shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance and I will meet you as a man. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. See, Jesus Christ is our champion, our hero, our king, our high priest, and we have been called to a fantastic calling. So when he returns to this earth, we'll be resurrected and meet him on the sea of glass in the air, and then he's going to instruct us on how we're going to take over the world. And we're going to see the judgment with the seven last plagues upon Babylon the Great, their armies, and all the system of the whole world. So it's coming. Verse 5, Sit silent and go into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for you shall no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. I was angry with my people and have polluted my inheritance and gave them into your hand. You showed them no mercy. You have very heavily laid your yoke upon the aged. And you said, I shall be a lady forever. So you did not lay these things to your heart, nor did you remember the latter end of it. Now then hear this, O lover of pleasures, who sits securely, who says in her heart, I am and none else beside me. That's direct reference to this world system of religion. Unless you belong to the world system of religion, you have no salvation. And the Roman Catholic Church says in their earlier writings that if you do not belong to the hierarchical Roman Catholic Church, you do not have salvation. All of the Protestants may be ecclesiastical associations, but they are not part of the Church of Rome. Now, they'll probably modify that as we go down the road in prophecy to be more inclusive, and they're already doing this because every year with the Hindu feast of Diwali, the Pope sends congratulations and wishing them a wonderful feast. Who else does he do it to? I don't know, but I'm sure he does. I shall not sit as a widow, nor shall I know the loss of children, but these two things shall come to you in a moment, in one day, loss of children and widowhood, and they shall come upon you in their fullness for the multitude of your sorceries and for the great abundance of your enchantments. Now remember, all powers fall when they reach the pinnacle of power. And that's why we're seeing the U.S. go down. We reach the pinnacle of power, economically, militarily, politically, and we overspent, just like the Russians did when they were in Afghanistan, and that's what brought the Soviet Union down. Now, we're going to see the same thing with us, and we're going to take a big hit downward. Verse 10, for you have trusted in your wickedness. You said, no one sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge has perverted you, and you have said in your heart, I am, and there is no one else. Now then it defines the system a little more, because this tells us all about it. You know, sometimes it's good if we read through the whole section of the Bible, so that we get the full identification of it. So let's do that. Stand now with your enchantments and with the multitude of your sorceries in which you have wearied yourself since your youth. Perhaps you will be able to profit. Perhaps you may prevail. You are exhausted by the multitude of your counsels. Now let the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save you from these things that shall come upon you. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame, and there shall not be a coal to warm them, no fire to sit by. Thus shall they be to you with whom you have labored, even your merchants from your youth. Each one shall wander to his quarter. None shall save you. Now let's look and see how Jeremiah talked of this worldwide system and of that very cup. Jeremiah 25. And again, we are going to see that this is a whole worldwide system. So there will be a world government, there will be an active world court, world currency, and once they get that in, it's going to work really, really good. It'll make prosperity, all of a sudden, there'll be prosperity unheard of, because you can buy and sell anywhere in the world, and there will be no balance of trade problems, there will be no currency deficiencies or whatever. See, now if you do something overseas, if you get caught in a currency downturn, and you're a company overseas that made a deal with someone in another country, and your currency goes down, you lose money. Now, all of that is eliminated. Just like here in America, if Californians buy from New York, they don't tally up how much was spent going to New York, and then at the end of the year, figure out that we owe more money to New York, or New York didn't buy enough from us, so they owe money to us. See? And that will eliminate currency speculation and the whole thing. So the world will say, this is a good thing. Don't you want the speculators put out of business? Oh, yes, we want them put out of business. See? Yes. Don't you want it regulated so there will be no depression? Yes. Don't you want it so there will be prosperity? And thus fulfill 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, which says, when they shall say peace and security, then sudden destruction comes upon them. All right, Jeremiah 25. Now, the first part of it talks about Babylon and King Nebuchadnezzar. Then it blends into the end time Babylon. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 15. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to me, take the wine cup of this wrath at my hand and cause all nations to whom I shall send you to drink it. Now, we'll see to whom he was sent. We won't read them all, but it's summarized here a little bit. And they shall drink and reel to and fro, because why? They're drunk, as it says in Revelation 17, with the wine of her fornication. And be crazed because of the sword I will send among them. Then I took the cup at the Lord's hand and made all the nations to drink to whom the Lord had sent me. Where does he begin? Jerusalem. Where are the problems at the end time going to start? What is the spark? Jerusalem. And the king of the north and the king of the south, right? Yes, indeed. Now let's come over here to verse 26. After he lists all of these nations, verse 26, and all the kings of the north, far and near. Now, Jeremiah never got there. So this is a prophecy for our day. One with another, all the kingdoms of the world which are on the face of the earth. That can only be the end times. And the king of Shishak shall drink after them. Therefore you shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, drink and be drunk and vomit. So the reason is, if you want to sin, you're going to get the result and consequences of it. If you want to reject God and follow Satan the devil and Babylon the great, you're going to get the results of it. And rise no more because of the sword which I will send among you. And it shall come to pass, if they refuse to take the cup at your hand to drink, then you shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, you shall certainly drink. Which means we must prepare for the coming kingdom of God, which comes from heaven when Jesus returns. Because no one is going to stop it. Because God has prophesied it to happen, and he knows how the countries and nations are working. He knows how they have rejected him, so this is his judgment upon them. They shall certainly drink it. Verse 29, for lo, I begin to bring evil on the city which is called by my name, and shall you go unpunished, all the nations of the world? You shall not go unpunished. For I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, says the Lord of hosts. Now that's all inclusive, isn't it? Yes, indeed. Now as we get toward Pentecost, we will cover the events which will unfold from this and fulfill that. And prophesy against them all these words and say to them, the Lord shall roar from on high and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar over his dwelling place. He shall give a shout like those who tread out grapes against all the people of the earth. A noise shall come from the ends of the earth, for the Lord has a controversy with the nations, and he will plead with all flesh. He will give those who are wicked to the sword, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be stirred up from the farthest corners of the earth. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. They shall not be mourned, nor gathered, nor burned. They shall be as dung on the ground. So that's what's going to happen to this system. That's why God says, do not become a part of it. And why do they not heed the warnings that come from God? Because they believe the lie. They will believe that the man of sin, the son of perdition, is from God. And they will believe the false prophets, as I covered in a sermon here earlier. And they will accept the mark of the beast, and that will be the final economic solution. And it will go beyond that because they will control your thoughts, they will control your mind, they will put into your mind what they want you to think. They're working on it right now. Have to bring a sermon on that. Okay. So that shows exactly what's going to happen. Now let's come back here to Daniel, the 7th chapter. 8th chapter, rather. Daniel 8. Daniel 8, page 860. I won't go through the whole vision, but let's pick it up here in verse 17. So he, that is the angel Gabriel, came near where I stood, and when he came, I was terrified and fell upon my face. And he said to me, understand, O son of man, for the vision is for the time of the end. Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep, my face toward the ground, but he touched me and set me upright. And he said, behold, I will make you know what shall happen in the latter time of the indignation, for it is for the appointed time of the end. Now it started out early with the ram, having two horns, the kings of Media and Persia, and then verse 21, Alexander the Great of the shaggy goat of the king of Greece, which had a great horn between his eyes, is the first king. And then that being broken, four kingdoms stood up out of it. Now, verse 23, this ties in with Revelation 13, 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, Daniel 11. In the latter time of their kingdom, when transgressors have come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty. And that's what we read of the beast who had the deadly wound that was healed back in Revelation 13, isn't it? But not by his own power. For Satan the devil will give him his power, his throne, and his great authority. And he shall destroy marvelously, and shall prosper and do his will, and destroy the mighty and the holy people. The martyrdom of the saints. And also through his cunning he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. And he shall magnify himself in his heart. And in time of security shall destroy many. Now this identifies it with Revelation very clearly. He also shall stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without human hand. We read that in Revelation 19. All right, back here to Daniel 7. Again, notice these are worldwide events. Now, if you get on a plane, especially American Airlines, when you start going into the entrance, right there they have a nice big dot symbolizing the world, and it says one world. It's all part of the system. All a part of the world. That's why God says, come out of the world, come out of her, my people, you see. Now Daniel 7 picks it up again here, verse 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be different from all the other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall trample it and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them. That's the beast power. And he shall be different from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. We don't know exactly how that's going to fall. There have been many speculations on what it is, and I want to be someplace else when this takes place. Verse 25, and he shall speak words against the Most High, shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Revelation 13 has power to martyr the saints. See, God wants us to stand up for him unto death, because Jesus stood up for us unto death, and shall and think to change the set times. When his system first came in, that's exactly what they did. Changed from Sabbath to Sunday and from Passover to Easter. Those are the set times of God and the laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time, times, and half a times, and that is 3.5 years. But the judgment shall sit. And we will cover this when we get into the events leading up to Pentecost and trumpets. And his dominion shall be taken away to be consumed and to be destroyed unto the end. Now notice what's going to happen. Here's where we take over after God does all of this, after the resurrection. And the kingdom, and dominion, and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, who have overcome, who have changed, who grew in grace and knowledge, who developed with the godly character with the Spirit of God to qualify to rule as kings and priests, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all kingdoms shall serve and obey him. Here's the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts troubled me greatly, and my countenance changed, but I kept the matter in my heart. And remember at the end, chapter 12, he said, O Lord, when will the end of these things be? And he said, it's not for you to know. It's closed and sealed until the time of the end. And we are here, the time of the end. Now it says, the wise shall understand, but the wicked shall not understand. So we have to be wise in loving God and serving him, being faithful to him, and he will give us the understanding that we need. So this is the world government that is coming, and it's coming very fast, and the resistance from America is what they have to overcome in order to bring it in. And it looks like it's going to succeed in the not-too-distant future, and will begin with a world currency. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.